Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because you don't blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor, and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries, and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Bye.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This, God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him, and then you felt like you wasn't worthy, and so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room, and I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me, and I said, I want you to do this graph for me, and that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't, lose your faith and get on not meant to be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it'll come. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad, Cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre, and that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land. Okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions, and that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills, and then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat, takes a lot less money to cool, it's a lot easier to clean. It's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now, I want to repeat, I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively, and you can do this at an age, at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on, with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
Okay, Robin, if you're out there, today's the what's the title today? Solar Home Building Academy, Fundamentals 101. All right, for those who don't know, Solar Home, and that's one word, Solar Home Building Academy, that's our school. That's our school. And the campus, our first campus, is called Earth Wealth E-Village. Earth Wealth E-Village, which stands for Earth Wealth Energy Village. That's located in Hamilton County, Florida. All right. Now, right now it's 4 acres of woods. But we got clearing spaces there where we can build, live, and camp and do all sorts of fun stuff. In any event, so we've got that now. In preparation for our first build, which will be a one-room schoolhouse, we want to talk about some of the fundamentals. Now, in our program notes, we got two things here, building phases and steps, and then Homeless Anonymous steps. Homeless Anonymous, we want to, I guess, pattern that, or we were inspired by Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, those groups, you know, whatever. Now, we might not have 12 steps, but one of the things that we want to brainstorm on today is what will be the steps, 12 or 7 or 6, whatever it might be, what will be the steps for Homeless Anonymous? The idea of Homeless Anonymous is this, basically teaching people that might be in a homeless shelter, sleeping in their car, bus, van, on the street, facing eviction, foreclosure, whatever. Homeless Anonymous basically is just not a rap group or chat group, because today rap has more than one meaning. Originally, rap was about talking. Anyway, but the whole thing is a support system. Homeless Anonymous is a support system. And within that support system, at no charge to you, we teach people how to build their own off-grid homes where they own it. Housing that's personal property where you own it. Real estate, you don't own it outright 100%. We'll go into details on that, which we've done in the past. We'll have to do it again for new people. So with Homeless Anonymous, what we want to do is we want to take a look at the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and then tailor make something for us at Homeless Anonymous. We might not need 12 steps. Might not need 12 steps, but we're going to take a look at it. So that's one of the things we're going to do today. And then building phases, okay? And there are primary three phases to the way we'll be doing our builds. Phase one, planning, all right, where we're powwowing. We can do Zoom calls. We can do telephone calls, that type of thing. Planning, that's phase one, you know. And phase two, collecting and or sourcing the materials that we need and the tools that we'll need for the build. And then phase three, the actual build. All right, those are, and basically what I've covered that already. So there are three phases the way we do it. Phase one, and you know what, since our first project, and then, of course, after that, we'll be doing weekends, four buildings on a weekend, but which hopefully if you're listening to us right now, you'll be one of the people that participate in this. But there are three, the way we do it, build a, and we're building solar homes. That's our bag. That's our stick. That's our niche. We build solar homes. And they're typically what people would call today tiny houses that are powered with, are powered in part by solar energy. Thus, Solar Home Building Academy. So we need a schoolhouse. And that's what we're going to build. That was inspired by Marva Collins and her family, the Collins family out of Chicago. We had last week we had on here Patrick Collins, who is West Side Prep 2.0. He was on here talking about that. That's in our archives, and we'll have him on here throughout the year as well. Now, so we will be building our one-room schoolhouse as well as our solar home projects. There are three phases to each project. Number phase one, planning. You know, what will we be, what shall we be building? What type of, you know, where it'll be built at, the building parts and all that, planning. Phase two. Oh, and phase one also includes what type of tools and materials that we'll need. And we always have a community meal with these as well, where we break bread and, you know, eat together. That's all part of phase one, which is planning. Phase two. All right, now that we've got our blueprint and marching orders from phase one, phase two is, all right, where do we go get the tools and the materials that we need to build? That's phase two, the collection of the tools and materials needed to build. And phase three is the actual build. All right. So, and you'll hear that over and over again. Also in phase one, let me put that out there, which is part, phase one is the planning stage of this for homeless or not. Matter of fact, any of our workshops that we give or retreats included in phase one is safety. So let me put this out there now. And you'll hear it again if you decide to collaborate with us. What, safety first. But here's some surface things when it comes to safety. Number one, get yourself a hard hat. You can get them on Amazon. All right. Number two, safety goggles. You don't want nothing flying up into your eyes at all. All right. Next item that you need to get, work gloves. Get you some work gloves. All these items are very affordable. You can get them off Amazon or go to your local Home Depot, Lowe's, Menards, or Ace Hardware or any hardware store that you choose. Okay, work gloves. And then four, we suggest that, matter of fact, not suggest, you're going to have to get a pair of work shoes or work boots. You can't be working with us building stuff if you got flip-flops. You won't be allowed to work. So no flip-flops, no tennis shoes, no Jordans, none of that stuff. You need to have work shoes, preferably steel-toe boots. All right, all this stuff is available. Just go on Amazon or go to Walmart or wherever you want to pick this stuff up at. So, and that's part of the safety, but you're going to need those items to help protect your person, your body. Now, we'll go into more of that in phase one, but essentially, those are the three phases. planning, getting the materials and the tools is phase two. And what specific tools, what specific materials, how much of each material, how much, like, are we going to, how many 2x4s or tongue and groove, you know, 8x4 panels or parts of floor that we'll need, you know, because we'll be teaching you how to make floors, walls, and roofs. But all that is in phase one. That's the planning stage. Phase, which includes the safety, which I just give you a snippet of the safety of what you can get. And this just gives you a head start. Phase two is, okay, we look at phase one, which is written down, and we have to get everything on that list. And then phase three, actual build. All right? If you'd like to collab with us, contact with me, send me a note on our Facebook page, which is It's My House TV. Go to It's My House TV on Facebook. Send me a DM or private message or whatever, and we'll get going with you on that. That's if you'd like to be a collaborator. And this is boots-on-the-ground collaboration. You don't have to know anything about carpentry or building. We'll walk you through those steps. And if you want a head start, go on Amazon or wherever you want to go to, eBay or whatever, get yourself a hard hat, work gloves, work goggles, and where may I recommend two sets of goggles. One, you want to get a normal pair of work goggles to protect your eyes. And then you want to get a pair of welder's goggles. Now, why, which are very dark. The reason why I'm saying get a pair of welder goggles is on occasion we shall be having solar cookouts, and we cook with, I got a solar cooking device which harnesses the sun's rays, and it puts out a very white heat. And you can't stare into it because it'll damage your eyes. So get you a pair of welder's goggles for when we do our solar cooking lunches or brunches. All right. I can scramble up a cooker egg in 15 seconds with this thing. All right. I can cook a steak in a minute. It's a very, very, so you'll need that. And then a pair of work boots, steel-toed work boots or work shoes, no tennis shoes, flip-flops, or nothing. So that's a snippet of the safety part, but that's all part of phase one. So phase one, once again, planning. Phase two, sourcing the tools and materials that we need. Phase three is building. All right, now the next thing that we're going to go through today, and then we're going to wrap it up for today, is Homeless Anonymous. Homeless Anonymous. Now, we've got an organization coined the term Homeless Anonymous. What we shall do right now is we're going to go through the 12 steps of Homeless Anonymous. And what we're going to, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a look at what are the 12 steps for Alcoholics Anonymous, because you got Alcoholics Anonymous, Debtors Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, and Narcotics Anonymous. So we're going to take a look at the 12 steps that they take. We might not need 12. We don't know that yet, but we're going to take a look at those 12, and then we're going to tweak what we see in those 12 steps for our step program for Homeless Anonymous. So let me go to the phone lines right now. Robin, you there? Hello? Okay, Robin's out somewhere. Okay, while we're waiting for Robin, let me play something while we track down Robin. And let's see what Demcat's talking about.
The Obama administration is planning sweeping new environmental rules to cut carbon pollution from power plants by 30% over the 2005 levels, and that'll be reached hopefully by 2030. Meanwhile, many people in this country who've chosen to lower their own carbon footprint using alternative energy, saving rainwater, et cetera, haven't always received a warm reception from local governments for not hooking into municipal services. I was joined earlier by Lori Carvalho to talk about the struggle that some are facing in leading a life of what they call self-sufficiency. And Lori is a mother of five who founded the website Prepper Chicks. She specializes in emergency preparedness and self-sufficient lifestyles. Her goal is to educate others in living off the grid and release their own dependency on outside influences. I first asked her to explain to people what off the grid means.
Well, for a lot of us people in the preparedness community, it doesn't necessarily mean that we want to live on an island north of Canada. It means more having the rights to be self-sufficient, not having the government dictate to us every move that we want to make. We understand there needs to be law and order within the country, but it also means that we are able to be prepared and self-sufficient in any means that we need to survive any kind of situation out there.
So living off the grid and living, as you say, self-sufficiently are a little bit different. But either way, it means, you know, living, the option of living unplugged to perhaps municipal services and things like that. Is that what you're saying, in effect?
Yes, not being dictated to on what we should, how we should have to live our lives.
Okay. Now, why are U.S. citizens like yourself choosing this lifestyle? Is it just to avoid, you know, government control? Is it maybe to save on your carbon footprint, save on utility bills, you know, all of these sorts of things? I mean, what is the reason that a lot of people do this?
Well, I think the biggest thing on most people's minds right now is the economy itself. We've seen the degrade in the country and the price of commodities skyrocket, and, you know, our paychecks are not getting any larger by any means. So we think, you know, we should have the right to be able to supplement our income with gardening, with raising, you know, small animals, chickens, rabbits, bees, even, and be able to take care of our family.
From an environmental perspective, is living off the grid more environmentally friendly, in your opinion, than being hooked up to municipal services and living off electricity or coal power and things like that? Is this also maybe a greener lifestyle choice for you as well?
100% agree with that, yes. We are not here to harm the environment whatsoever. Actually, a lot of the practices that we teach, such as permagardening, where we integrate crops instead of just a mono farming technique that you see in the Midwest, actually helps the environment.
Well, while the federal government is thinking about big cleanup policies, such as, you know, cutting down on the carbon footprint from coal plants and other things, how have you seen city governments and municipalities respond to citizens who wanted to pull the plug on their services within the United States?
Well, actually, it's been quite a backlash. And what just happened with the coal miners and that was passed today with the EPA hits close to home. My brother is a coal miner in southeastern Ohio, along with my nephew. You know, they're trying to impart their regulations on us, but they don't give us an alternative. We're trying to help that out by looking at solar, by looking at wind, by farming. And we've seen case after case where even front yard gardening is against the law. A quarter of the states in the United States have some kind of rainwater catchment regulations out there that makes it against the law. You could be fined, you could be jailed for something as simple as a catchment of rainwater.
What are some of the more aggressive tactics that you know about that have been used? I mean, I've heard about things that, you know, people's gardens being plowed up, people, as you say, prevented from catching their own rainwater. What are some of the things that have affected people in your area?
In our area, luckily in Indianapolis, we have more lax. So in Indianapolis itself, there are laws where you can keep a couple chickens in your backyard. But the biggest one, the newest one that's been out, that's been a long fight, is down in Cape Coral, Florida, where a woman is trying to live off-grid, if you want to call it that, being self-sustainable. And the city was trying to force her into hooking up to the city utilities, the electric, the water. And she didn't want to do that. And they took it to the courts, and international law stepped in, which is what they termed it as, which I find is a little alarming in itself, but evicted her from her home just because she wanted to live that kind of lifestyle. I know the welfare system itself contributes to this and has gone after people that live in the Appalachian Mountains and whatnot.
That was self-sufficiency expert Lori Garabalo.
Okay, Robin, are you there?
Yes, I'm Robin. Here.
Great. All right, let's knock out these 12 steps, and we might not need 12. I've got a list here of Alcoholics Anonymous. Step one. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I guess this is where we admit it. We are powerless over our. I'm going to read what the 12 steps I have, and then we'll tailor make them for what we want to do with Homeless Anonymous. All right, step one.
Yeah.
We admit we are powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. All right, step two is come to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, make a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admit it to God, to ourselves, and to other human beings, the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we are entirely ready to have God remove all these defects from our character. Seven, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, make a list of all persons we have harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. Now, you know what? Right here, I don't know how many we're going to end up with, but I can tell you what right here. The way I'm looking at this is, all right, make a list of all persons that we can build, build social capital with. Nine, make a direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so, or now will be, if somebody within my social capital group needs a house to be built, we'll help build. So that's eight. Well, all right. Well, that's how we'll do that. Ten, continue to take personal inventory when we were wrong and promptly admit it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God and our 12, having a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. All right. Anything to add to this, Robin?
No, just other than adapting those steps to housing, you know.
Okay.
Housing Anonymous, so.
All right, I'm going. All right, let's get through this. We might not need all 12 steps.
So the first one, admit that you're powerless. And then maybe we don't, instead of making amends, you you make a list of where you could. Okay, so you admit that you're homeless, and that there's a higher power, and then you identify the reason or your obstacle, right? And then you direct efforts to overcome those obstacles if necessary, and then you direct your other efforts into obtaining or building your housing after that. Does that make sense?
I'm going a little bit deep on that.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to say
yeah.
I.
Right.
All right. Here's what's come to me. I admit I have the power to learn how to build my own housing.
Yeah.
Let's see. I admit that I have the power to build my own house. Okay? That's step one. Step two.
Yep.
I can't believe that the power that a greater, I can't believe that a power greater than myself can restore
Matter what you call him, God or what. It's bigger than you.
Three, because it. Well, I said we might not need 12 steps.
Right.
Make a decision to turn
So make a decision.
Make a decision
to obtain, to overcome any obstacles or bad habits that you had, that contributed to your health. You know what I'm saying?
Wait a minute. I make a decision to learn. All right, I'm simplifying. I make a decision to learn how to build my own house.
Yep.
All right. That's step two.
No, step two, you need to identify any hindrances or obstacles to getting housing. And then
well,
I make a decision. What?
Well, that's what you're saying, all right. All right. What I said plays into what you just said. I make a decision to learn how to build my own house.
No. Because before people learn how to build their house, they have to deal with the issue of why they were homeless in the first place. This is why it's Homeless Anonymous. So they have to identify, they have to admit that they're homeless, they have to admit that there's a higher power that it's going to take to get them out of it. They have to identify any hindrances or obstacles. I need to identify anything that I'm doing that's contributing to my homelessness, and then I need to overcome those, Barry. Now I'm in a condition that I can make a choice or make a decision to build the house and follow through.
The common denominator with people that are homeless is they don't know how to build a house.
Right. The 12 steps, right, are for admitting that you got a problem, identifying it, making any corrections or blah, 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 and then you go to build your life, drug fee or blah, 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 blah. So if we're going to do this on the same premise, you identify that you're homeless. You admit that it's going to take a higher power to get you out of that, okay? You identify anything that you're doing that's contributing to your homelessness or any obstacle or barriers. You have to deal with those issues with the homelessness. And then when you restore them, same thing with Alcoholics Anonymous. Once they get restored, now they can live their life. Once they get restored, go through the steps, now they can build their house. Now they're in a condition to build their house. That's just what I'm thinking.
All right, we'll come back to that.
Yeah.
Step two, because like I said, we might not need 12 steps.
It doesn't necessarily have to be 12, but it's just the premise of what those steps do. The whole premise of Alcoholics or whatever Anonymous. So if you're going to do Homeless Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous or Alcoholics Anonymous, then the premise or the structure should be the same. Otherwise, you're doing something different. You understand?
Well, common denominator with people that are homeless, near homeless, or whatever, the common denominator is they don't know how to build. So,
they don't know how to build. But watch this. So you go, okay, come. And learn how. I'm going to teach you how to build your house. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to give you the not necessarily give you the supplies, but whatever. You lay it all out there, and then boom, nobody comes. Why? They need houses. They're homeless. Why? Because they have issues that need to be addressed or resolved. Wait a minute. Just like Jesus, when Jesus walked in, he didn't say, obey, do whatever, blah, 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 blah. He looked and saw what they needed. Yeah? And he fed them. He got their attention.
Right.
And then he identified whatever it was that they needed. He fed them. He housed them. He gave them spiritual leader, whatever, from there. But he followed some steps before he did that. And before he could get the people to do anything, he had to address their issues first.
Okay, and what I'm saying, wait a minute.
Yep. So right. the issues of homelessness that these people or blah, blah, blah. That's what the anonymous steps would help them identify, address, and overcome. Now we can teach them how to build. That would be the final step. Not the first, or one of the first.
This is second. All right. What I'm saying here is this.
Yeah.
I make a decision to educate and learn how to build my own house.
Yes.
Because it's a lack of knowledge there. That's what has to be addressed. They don't know how to build it.
But that's not all that they don't know. They don't know how to balance a check. They don't know how to budget money. They don't know there might be a whole bunch of other things before that. And it's not necessarily
stop people. All right. Oh, let me address, because what you're talking about is this. I make a decision to learn how to build my own.
Yep.
Off the grid house.
Yep.
That addresses all this budget business. Okay. You know, anything we come up with today is we're going to sleep on it anyway. And I got to get out. I got 30 more minutes because I got to go somewhere. I guess around about 1 o'clock. Okay, let's see. And it's 11:30 where I'm at right now. So, all right. Make a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admit to God and ourselves that another human being is the exact nature of our earth. 6, we entirely ready to have God remove all those defects in our character. 7, humbly ask and remove the shortcomings. 9, make a list of all persons we have harmed. All right, now here's where I'm at with.
So that would be make a list of the different ways or the different approaches that we could use to build a house. Okay. So, a manufactured home, or building it from scratch, or blah blah blah, okay, or having someone else build it or whatever.
All right, hold it. You're ahead of me by a step. All right, let me read it again. Make a list of all persons. Here's where I'll read the whole thing. Make a list of all persons we have harmed and became willing to make. And become willing to make amends to them. Now, when I read that, make a list of all persons, what I'm getting out of it, make a list of all persons that we can build that will help us build a house using social capital.
Yeah.
All right, make a list of all people using social capital that can help us build our house. Okay, 9. Make direct amends to such people whenever possible, except do so when you are Here's what I'm feeling out of this. Make direct contact of your social capital network.
Mm-hmm.
To plan, break bread and build.
Yep.
Okay. Man, what the hell? All right, let me see. Okay. Continue to take personal inventory on That's in 11. Thought through prayer and meditation, improve your conscious contact with God. 12, having a spiritual. All right, we got 5 steps. Fifth step is Isaiah 65:21.
Mm-hmm.
We shall build houses and live in them.
Yeah, wow.
5 steps. Now, let's marinate on that until tomorrow.
Okay.
And just,
all right.
Now, let me repeat what we got here. Step 1, I admit that I have the power to build my own house. I make a decision to educate and learn how to build my own house, my own off-the-grid house.
Yep.
Step 3, I make a list of all people using social capital that can help me build our house. I got to clean that sentence up. 4, make direct contact with my social capital. Make direct contact with your social capital to plan, break bread, and build. 6, Isaiah 65:21, we shall build houses and live in them. Homeless, A90, okay. All right, well, I got to clean up a sentence or two. Well, overall, how does those 5 sound? If you're there. Hello? Okay, Robin must have went somewhere. Okay. All right. Okay, I don't know where Robin's at. Okay, so that's our work for today. All right, we're going to.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh no, how does it sound to you, Robin? Those five steps.
Those sound very, very apt. Very good to me. Yes.
All right. So let's marinate on them for a night, and then how does it feel tomorrow? And if it still feels right. That's our 5 steps, and we'll go from there. All right, it's 11:38 a.m. on my end, and I need to be get ready to go somewhere around about 1, or I need to be ready by 1. So I can get out here and do what I need to do, running errands. So thank you, Robin, for coming on. What's happening with Violence Live and Hilltop?
Same old, same old. Right now, I've been on a medical hiatus, so you know.
Oh, like back on. And I appreciate you coming out here because you are healing there. On a scale of 1 to 10, what do you rank at today?
Oh, I'd say I'd give myself about a 7.5, 8.
All right, well, you're getting there.
I'm still even on the good days, I'm on a hiatus right now. I have to be for a while.
All right. Well, I tell you what. If you're available tomorrow, great. If not, I'm gonna call you in the morning. You know when we talk in the morning anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, because you need to heal that body. All right, Robin. Thanks again. I'll talk to you later today. All right.
Okay. Thank you. Bye bye now.